Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in London. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us today at Abounding Grace. We're going back to Nehemiah today as we started yesterday opening up this subject of the importance of the Word of God and continuing reformation in the church, going back to the Word to ask, how have we departed and how, O Lord, might we reform our ways that we might glorify You as the God of heaven and earth? I said yesterday it all begins in understanding that God is honored through what is foolish to the world. See, often we think we have to make the message a little more relevant, do these things to sort of grab the people. And Paul came along to the Corinthians and he said, look, we preach the cross, foolishness to the world. We have to remember that. The word cuts two ways. And so it's not in our oratory skills. It's not in our stories. It's not in our great wisdom and abilities. It's in the preaching of the Word of God as He chooses by the Spirit to work in the hearts. And we don't sort of help the Holy Spirit out. The Holy Spirit chooses to work when we remain faithful to what the Lord has told us to do. Well, what did we look at yesterday? We looked at the fact we drastically need to again be put under the authority of the Word of God, since Christianity today has been corrupted by false worship. And spirituality, remember, utterly diminishes, it utterly decreases, it goes away when there is a loss and a decrease in love for the Word of God. The Word has to be central, and that's what we want to focus on the rest of the week. Nehemiah 8 is our passage this week. And it's an interesting passage because it's all about God's covenant people, Israel, being rebuilt after returning from Babylon. This is the remnant. You remember God had raised up all of these prophets for His people, and the sad reality was they would not hear His word. And the New Testament continues to maintain to us, do not harden your hearts. Listen here. We must give the most earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Hearing the word is everything. And the people in those days went into false worship. They corrupted themselves in materialism. They went after the world. And God came, and God warned through His prophets, turn from your ways. You will be judged. Destruction is coming. And they kept saying, the temple, the temple, the temple, not this land. We're the covenant people. You don't mean us. I mean, we have a whole example set before us in the Old Testament of this. And God would send His prophets to His covenant people right into the temple grounds often to herald judgment proclamations against them because they would not hear the word of God. And they never believed that it was for them. And in fact, 1 Corinthians 10 says, look, don't forget those examples. They're admonitions for us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So, same thing is true for the covenant people today. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 26, God sent him right into the middle of the temple, and he walks in, and there's all the old elders of the people, and there's all the leaders, and they're all sitting there, and Jeremiah, the young man, stands up and says, this house will be like Shiloh, and the people were ready to kill him. Not us. The temple, the temple, the temple. All because they would not hear the word of God. And so, lo and behold, God carried them all off to Babylon. A horrific time as that entire nation was burned to the ground and the people hurled and carried off. In Nehemiah, we have come to the time of the return from the land of Babylon. The houses are all ashes. The temple has been destroyed. It's a horrific sight of God's judgment on the people for being stiff-necked and not hearing. And so they begin to build the wall. Well, in chapters 8 through 10, the most important thing is renewed. The covenant. This whole situation is covenant renewal in worship. They're renewing everything. And so these chapters present to us a people who have freshly experienced the judgment of God. And let me just say, the struggle with this text in Nehemiah 8 is our lack of identification. We are like these people before they were carried off to Babylon. We can't imagine having our homes burnt, churches burnt, all of us hauled overseas to North Korea. Think we would have a different perspective coming home? I mean, put yourself in their shoes. Here they are. Many of their loved ones, their grandfathers, their parents have been killed. They have nothing. Their lands, their houses, their jobs, everything's lost, and now a remnant is back in the land. It's time for what? Reformation. What was central to them? Let me ask this. What would you expect? Would Joel Osteen's book really be at the top-selling list at that time? Be a better you? Have your best life now? A more progressive form of worship, maybe? You know, if we could clear the categories of contemporary and traditional and ask the simple question, what is biblical? And this is not biblicism. This is not, this is asking what is biblical. If we could do that, so many problems would be removed. Let's pick up in Nehemiah chapter 8 today. In verse 1, when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Now what's the first thing we can say? True reformation occurs when there is this deep, incessant hunger for the word of God among the hearts of his people. The really striking thing here is that they come asking for the word. Ezra didn't stand up and say, look, you need to hear the word. They'd been doing that for years and they were judged. They told Ezra the scribe, bring the book of the law. In the previous chapter, in chapter 7 of Nehemiah, we're told that 42,360 had gathered in the open square. For years they had not heard the word. For years they were judged. And now the word is burning within them. The real question here is, had God not given his word to them? Of course he had. In fact, he sent the prophets rising up early, just like today. They preached the word in season, out of season. And to these very people, day in and day out, they preached the word. But what happened? They would not hear. In the book of Amos, Amos had come years earlier warning. He said in chapter 8, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Look, the famine that had happened among God's people was not only that the word would be absent, it was a famine of the hearing. That means even the preachers, if they were sent, the famine was seen in that the judgment of God, he did not pour out his spirit so that they would hear the word. And that's the case today. So many of us can have plenty of Bibles on our shelves. We can have them in different leather cases and different covers and never read it, never grow in the love for the words of life. That's evidence of a famine, not only in the land, but in your heart. That's exactly what Jesus said. You know, when he gave the parables, think about this, my friends. We often think that when he gave those parables, he gave them to make it more palatable and understandable for the people. Actually, Jesus gave those parables for what reason? He told us, so that seeing they would not see, and hearing they would not understand. It was judgment because they were hardening his hearts, and so they would harden his hearts against him, and then he would tell a parable in judgment. Jesus was a prophet of judgment, and they heard it with their ears, and they got angry. But you see, they did not hear it so as to have their hearts changed. In John 6, and this is something that I don't know how people today in the megachurch movement who base success on number deal with this. In John 6, he preached to the multitudes. What happened? All these multitudes around him, they even want to make him king at the beginning of the chapter. At the end of that section, at the end of his sermon, only 12 disciples remained. Why? The reason is because his teaching was hard. It was convicting, it pierced, and people didn't want that. They didn't want to hear that. It was hard to hear. And he drove away. I mean, you can imagine him saying after this, he looks at his disciples and says, do you want to leave also? And the point is that no one could hear his teaching. It was too much. Too much sin and judgment. And they left. They left. You know, often I heard this said one time, and it's so true. Often we don't preach the gospel well enough to offend and drive away the non-elect. That's not hyper-Calvinism. That's just saying, why aren't people getting offended today with the gospel? They got offended when Jesus preached it. You see, we have in front of us today something beautiful that we have to admit is very rare in Nehemiah 8. The whole nation had been under famine. They did not hear the word of God. They were warned, but instead they wanted the prophets to give them smooth words and with flattering speech. They would say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. They didn't want to hear about sin, and they did not want to hear about their materialism. They did not want to hear about all of the sins that they were committing against the Lord their God and the judgment that was to come. And they went on with their prosperous lives, running off to their own houses. I'm just rehearsing what the reality was. And God brought swift destruction, and now all of a sudden the remnant is back, and their materialism in their homes, and all of these things were destroyed. And what did the people finally want? Oh, what did they learn? A longing in their hearts for the Word of God. They wanted the Word of God. Do you want the Word of God today? They wanted the Word of God to show them the way of life, and that is only in Christ Jesus. May today we have that love for the Word and consider seriously what the Lord put down in His Scriptures for us, that we might not harden our hearts, but may ask all the more, Lord, what have we done to sin against You, and how might we find life? Oh, it's only through Jesus Christ who is proclaimed throughout this beautiful word. If we can't see today that we are in a famine of the hearing of the Word of God when everyone's gathering for this program and this music and this and that, and there is no heart to sit under the Word proclaimed and preached, there is a famine, my friends. We must return to a love for the Word of God. Join us this Sunday at the Linden URC, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. LindenURC.com is the website. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.